From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of February 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Joe Vaklavic from Standard Grain in Chicago. A bit later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll allay some of your fears, maybe about what's happening in the United States. We'll discuss, too, whether that means drought later on or not. There are some dry areas here in Illinois, parts of Indiana. And along the way, we'll check in on the agricultural news for the afternoon and with the folks over at the Clymers facility that belongs to the Andersons, where they make ethanol outside of Logansport, Indiana, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget to pick up your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's coming up on the 7th day of March, a Tuesday afternoon, as usual. Tickets are just $30. Buy them online, willag.org, willag.org, or at 800-898-1065. We're joined now by Joe Vaklavic. He's at Standard Grain in Chicago to take a look at what happened there in the trade for the afternoon. Hey, Joe, thanks for being with us today.
Anytime. Glad to be on the show.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace. I'm wondering what you think about the purchases that took place today and have been happening both in the corn and the wheat market.
Well, you know, something these funds, managed money, hedge funds, large speculators, whatever you want to call them, they've been pretty consistent buyers of these dips that we've seen in the corn market and also in the wheat market. Both of those markets have trended higher since December. You could argue really that the corn market has had a loose uptrend since the low back in late August. But no matter the reason, there is some outside money that's very interested in owning these commodities. The funds are now really pretty aggressively long the corn market, certainly north of 100,000 contracts or pretty close to there. In the wheat market, the funds are aggressively covering shorts. The short that they've got now in the Chicago wheat market really pales in comparison to what it was just a couple of months ago. So no matter the reason, we've got some interest here in these commodity markets, corn and wheat especially.
Does it have you concerned?
No, it's a good thing. I mean, if any, you know, we often have the funds to blame when the markets go down or when we see a big time liquidation event. But in this situation, I think that they're helping these markets. You know, in the grander scheme of things, Todd, these markets, corn, soybeans, wheat, all of them either posted or tested some fresh 10-year lows just in the last 12 months. You know, the wheat market did it more recently, the corn market back in August, the soybean market around this time last year. So when you look at assets across the board here, you've got a stock market at all-time highs. You've got interest rates that are still not very good. There's not a lot of great places for outside investment money to go. And I think that with corn with a 3 in front of it, beans with a 10 in front of them, the wheat with a 4 in front of them, those are pretty cheap relative to what we've seen the last 10 years. And that could be the reason why we've seen some interest here.
So commodities are cheap on the backside of the brand new plateau, if that's truly the case. And by backside, I mean down at the bottom end of it. And they just simply see it as a good buy, in your opinion?
Well, yeah, I think that that's part of it. I also think that ahead of the U.S. growing season, you know, we're really going to get into the bigger portion of the U.S. growing season here for winter wheat during the next couple of months. And for corn and soybeans, obviously, you know, June, July, August is it. I think personally, I mean, I would kind of agree with the notion that perhaps the upside risk in these markets could be even a little bit greater than the downside risk in these markets between now and the time that we know a little bit more about the crop. Now, if we've got good weather in July, the corn market's overpriced. There's no doubt about it. And if we've got good weather in August, the soybean market's overpriced. But that's a big if. And, you know, the market may very well add some risk premium ahead of that.
Are you, like others, that are willing sellers of soybeans still, new and old crop?
Yeah, I've been pretty much down to gambling stocks here in regard to old crop beans for some time now. New crop beans, I've been quite a bit more aggressive than I've been in new crop corn, where we've got just about nothing done here. New crop beans, though, gave us some prices that worked, and we had a lot of customers that were increasing acreage or planning on increasing acreage this spring. And if you're increasing acreage because of the price, you've got to make sure that you act upon the price. So we have done some new crop bean marketing.
What are you suggesting for those who have not changed their mix or have gotten, I don't know, I guess 20 or 30% sold on new crop soybeans? Are they standing pat at this point?
Yeah, I think so. We still got a lot of time. I mean, I know nobody likes to store soybeans, but I'd like to think that we have all the way through the growing season and really through the end of the calendar year to market these beans. You know, we've seen what low is in this bean market. You know, those prints that we saw in the $8.50 to $9 range, that's probably your risk if we run into a really good crop. I really doubt we're going to get much cheaper than that, just on the way that the market acted when the news was the most bearish. And to the upside, you know, could you see an $11, $12 new crop bean market if weather was bad and acreage is a little bit lower than we think it's going to be? Sure, that's very possible. So I still think you've got room to move up. You know, 80% of these markets are going to come down to weather like they always do.
What acreage figures are you using today?
Ooh, it's very, very exciting. You know, 2 months ago, it was a layup that we were going to see 89, 90 million acres of soybeans, and we were going to see corn decline to about that same amount, you know, somewhere around 90 million. Now you've got a soybean market in the new crop contracts that hasn't done a whole lot recently. With anything, we've been under a little bit of pressure. And your corn market, December corn at 397 today, you know, things are starting to look a little bit more competitive. In fact, I've seen a number of spreadsheets from different farm operations in the Midwest that suggest that the corn might even be the better deal here. Now, I guess the question is, what kind of acreage decisions were made? What kind of tillage was done this past fall? A lot of these decisions have already been made. You got to keep that in mind. I think we'll see a corn acreage number closer to 91 or 92, if I had to guess. I think that the soybeans won't be as high as some people think. I think that we'll be somewhere in the mid to upper 80s. You know, that 87 to 88 number kind of sticks out to me. That being said, everybody always misses the mark on the acreage number. We missed corn by 4 or 5 million last year, so take that with a grain of salt.
We'll get that, of course, on March the 31st, and then we'll get it again in June. Can you take a look at the global functions of the marketplace, corn, soybeans, or wheat? Your choice.
Well, we should, you know, this time of year, Todd, we should be seeing cancellations and switching of export sales away from the U.S. and towards South America. We saw one small cancellation of some South Korean corn, I think, here this morning. But other than that, we haven't seen a whole lot of it yet, and we should start to see more. So on the market's radar here, you know, the next few weeks, what are we going to do with soybean exports? Is it going to continue at the pace it's been at? It's very doubtful. It's just a matter of how much does it fall off, and that's going to kind of be the question. I think USDA could be a little low on corn exports. This market's been really good, and I'm hoping it continues, so we could see USDA bump up those projections a little bit. South American weather is generally favorable, although parts of southern Brazil and Argentina are going to be too wet, so we may see some minor harvest delays.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much.
Anytime, Todd.
Joe Vaclavec is with Standard Grain. He's based in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Please do visit our website, willag.org. You can buy your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook there. The cost is just $30. It includes your morning coffee and roll, your noon meal from the beef house, and a baker's dozen of agricultural analysts to talk about the cash grain market, the soybean market, the corn market. We'll take up also the weather. We'll do that with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible, and the agricultural economist from here on campus will be there. The folks that are part of the Gardner Agriculture Policy Program to take up farm policy, the coming farm bill, and trade. We'll do crop insurance, too, right there on Tuesday, the 7th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I don't think you can afford to miss it, and all you have to do is go online right now and buy your ticket for $30 at willag.org or call 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with a letter written by President Donald Trump to the attendees of this year's National Ethanol Conference held this week in San Diego. He tells them he regrets that he's unable to be with them in person. And then in the third paragraph writes, quote, "Rest assured that your president and this administration will value the importance of renewable fuels to America's economy and to our energy independence. As I emphasized throughout my campaign, renewable fuels are essential to America's energy strategy, unquote, and he signed it with very best wishes for your success, Donald J. Trump. Well, let's stay with the presidential theme for the moment. The Department of Homeland Security issued two guidance memos yesterday that give federal immigration agents wide latitude to arrest, detain, and deport undocumented immigrants and legal immigrants with criminal records. Now, Trump's rhetoric and actions on immigration are having a chilling effect in some parts of the country where farmers depend on immigrant labor to harvest their crops, in particular fruit, vegetable, and dairy operations. The newspaper, the Idaho Statesman, reported yesterday that agriculture leaders in the state are arguing that Trump's policies could, quote, potentially pose a crippling blow to the state's agriculture industry and overall economy. The economic vitality of rural Idaho stands on the shoulders of foreign-born labor, said Bob Narabout, executive director of the Idaho Dairymen's Association, which estimates immigrant workers make up more than 85% of the state's 8,300 employees of dairy operations. Let's move now from immigration to trade, and NAFTA, a renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement, will take place as a collective three-country talks, the foreign ministers of Canada and Mexico said yesterday. We very much recognize that NAFTA is a three-country agreement, and were there to be negotiations, those would be three-way negotiations, and we really value our partnership with Mexico, Canadian Foreign Minister Freeland said during an event hosted in Toronto by the Canadian Council for the Americas. One of our principles is this is a trilateral matter because we are part of a regional agreement, said the Mexican foreign minister on the same panel. This is a three partners conversation and will continue to be a three partners conversation. We'll stay with trade and the Trump administration, but move to the border adjustment tax. Here's how the Farm Bureau views it. Farmers and ranchers export a lot of their products. Still, the American Farm Bureau Federation hasn't taken a firm position on the border adjustment tax, in larger part because it's worried about how the World Trade Organization might view a U.S. border adjustment system that is not attached to a value-added tax and the potential for retaliation from America's trading partners. A WTO challenge to an American border adjustment system wouldn't happen overnight, but Patricia Wolf, Senior Director of Congressional Relations at the American Farm Bureau Federation, told Morning Tax that the agriculture sector would have to take the issue seriously from the jump. Wolf said any plan that helps exports would boost the farming sector, but tax benefits of border adjustability are currently slated to go to the companies that actually export the products. The agriculture industry has talked to congressional staff about pushing the tax benefits down the supply chain. And finally today, we'll stay with trade, but come back here to home and the corn market. The CEO of global agribusiness company Bunge Limited says U.S. corn is a better deal for Mexico than corn from Argentina or Brazil. Soren Schroeder says he does not think Mexico would start heavily buying corn from South America simply because the U.S. offers a better deal. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Check us out online, willag.org. There you can buy your tickets to the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The price, only $30. You get your morning coffee, rolls, the noon hour meal from the Beef House, a dozen analysts, actually a baker's dozen, and we'll do a deep dive into farm policy. We'll get weather, too, from Eric Snodgrass. That's on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. Don't wait any longer. Buy your ticket right now, willag.org, or make a phone call to 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. The All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. Tickets are just $30. Don't wait longer. Buy them now. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the grain market specialist at the University of Illinois has been thinking a lot about the coming growing season and how the balance sheet for corn may look. A balance sheet is just what it sounds like. It adds up the available supplies and then subtracts all of the demand. It's oftentimes called a supply and demand table. The grain market specialist at the U of I has been developing his S&D table for corn. It starts, says Todd Hubbs, with the number of acres he believes farmers will plant this year.
When I'm looking forward to 2017-18, on the supply side, I see a reduction in corn acreage. sort of put it at about 91.5, which it's a 3.5 million acre reduction from 2016. You know, it could be more than that. The numbers are all over the place, but I think that's a fair estimate. It may even come in a little bit higher.
The first number then in the new crop corn balance sheet is 91.5 million acres, with an expectation that 83.2 million of those will be harvested. Hubs uses a trend line yield of 169 bushels to the acre, despite the fact the last three growing seasons have produced above average yields.
I'm going to stick with the trend expectations right now. I don't think it's time to abandon that kind of thinking over the long haul. So when you put those two together, the crop projection I had is about 14.1 billion bushels for 2017.
When you add USDA's 2.32 billion bushel corn carryout from this year and 50 million bushels of corn imports for next year to the 14.1 number, it tallies 16.4 billion bushels of total supply.
On the demand side, I actually see ending stocks coming down in 2017-18 from what they are at the end of 2016-17. We've had really strong consumption. I see corn use for ethanol consumption trending up a little bit. We've seen a gradual move up year over year for the last 5 years. Now, while we don't see massive growth in it, there's a slight trend in it. I put it at about 5.4 billion bushels, mainly based on Energy Information Agency's expectations on gasoline consumption and gas prices and the relatively strong export numbers we've seen in ethanol over the last year.
While the number of bushels of corn used to make ethanol is trending higher in Todd Hubb's balance sheet, corn exports are lower. He's thinking 1.95 billion bushels because Brazil should fill back in the export hole its poor corn crop created last year. Oh, and that number also assumes there won't be a trade policy problem in the coming year. The remaining demand figure is domestic usage, called feed and residual. The University of Illinois number cruncher puts it at 5.5 billion bushels. These all add up to 14.3 billion bushels of demand. When you subtract it from the available supply, 2.131 billion bushels are left over. Right now, Todd Hubbs thinks each of those bushels of corn will be worth $3.70 in the cash market. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Stephen Linneberger is on the phone line. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm very, very well. It's kind of a pretty day there. It is here.
You bet. Feels like summer almost. Got to be careful what I say, though.
That's true. So tell me about basis in your area and what demand's been like.
Demand been okay. From a basis perspective, been pretty flat. Been a little weaker ahead of this futures push last week. Watched that decline just a little Friday into the overnight Monday night with the no trade on the holiday that, we watch this thing pick up just a little bit as the, outside competitor market picking up just a little as corn getting a little nervous, that things need to continue moving. A lot to be bought, but don't feel like we need to be at the levels we are. But, movement just average at best.
And your expectations for the next month or so as we close out the February crop insurance setting time?
I think probably going to see a little weaker number, in the front half of March as guys maybe get a little bit of cash flow position. And you're watching the bean side of the processor market getting extremely full, but a lot of that movement shifted over to corn. So as that continues to build, wouldn't be surprised if basis wants to flatten out a little. But you've got, some crucial reports coming forward that, could easily put basis in a downward turn if corn wants to rally off some expected acreage turnaround to be favorable corn value, not so favorable bean value.
And your bids for the day are what?
Going away, we're 375 cash corn at the ethanol processor and about 365 at the Delphi elevator.
Hey, thanks so much, Stephen.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Stephen Linneberger is with the Anderson's Climbers facility located in Logansport, Indiana. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 22nd day of February. Pick up those tickets. Do it right now for the all-day Ag Outlook. Less than 2 weeks away now. WILLAG.org or 800-898-1065. Let's talk about the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Boy, it'll get much better than this day in Champaign-Urbana on the 22nd day of February. Something like 71 or 2 for the high this afternoon is predicted. Are we going to get colder sometime soon?
We are going to cool down. It does look as though as we progress through this next 7 to 10 days, so it'll be a succession of three storm systems. Each one will progressively shift further to the south relative to the previous event, and so everybody will get precipitation at one time or another, and as each system passes, there will be a cooling process. So everybody in the Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states, even the plains, will all see a cooling trend take place. So enjoy the warmth while we've got it. It won't be this warm again for a while. I'm certainly not going to say it's not going to happen again for a long period of time, but we certainly are spoiled at the moment, and we are going to fall back into a little bit more mid to late winter type weather for a while.
And this warm-up has created some buzz in the agricultural world. What are the things that concern you most, if anything, about this type of warm-up at this time of year?
Well, you know, I think the thing that concerns me most is the rumors, because, you know, it's one thing to have a period of unusual warmth, but, you know, if the wrong person gets a hold of that information, all of a sudden we hear drought talk or things that are really not quite clear-cut yet, and I think we have to be really careful not to get caught up into too many long-range outlooks based on a short-term period of warmer-than-usual weather. But with that said, I am concerned at the moment about some moisture deficits that are present at the moment in central and southern Illinois, parts of southwestern Indiana, Missouri, and down into the northern parts of the Delta. This area is targeted to pick up on precipitation as we move forward through this next 10-day period. In fact, I think in the month of March, there will be additional moisture. So worries about that big area of 90-day moisture deficits should go away. In the meantime, we're going to have quite a snowstorm occurring here over the next 2 to 3 days. It'll start really tomorrow and ends on Saturday morning, but it will produce an impressive amount of snow from southern South Dakota and northern Nebraska to Wisconsin. We'll look for anywhere from 3 to 9 inches in general. There'll be some 10 to 15-inch amounts. Some of the model data suggests over 20 inches may occur in northwestern Iowa, for gosh sakes. So that's all coming from the first storm system. Last thing to worry about in the U.S. is soil temperatures and winter wheat development. Obviously, this very warm weather has pulled a lot of crop out of dormancy. The cold air that's coming down over the next week and a half or so is not expected to be cold enough to cause permanent damage across any of the winter wheat producing areas in the U.S. So that's good news.
Any worries in the southern hemisphere?
Probably the biggest issue there is the fact that it's still raining fairly often in parts of southern Argentina. Their sunseed crop is being harvested or should be harvested at this time of the year, but it's waiting for dry weather, and it's raining so much that the quality of that crop is in decline, and we'll continue to see that. Sunseed, of course, is very sensitive to too much moisture at maturation time. Outside of that, soybeans and corn, I think we'll see a little bit of an improvement in Argentina. It's going to be very hot for this time of the year over this next full week across Argentina. And Brazil still looks like a good balance of rain and sunshine for the next 10 days, further helping out this big crop that we've got there.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of February. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.